And we are back. Welcome back to another episode of the Depressed Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I am Jesse, and this is your instant reaction podcast as your Cincinnati Bengals defeat the Indianapolis Colts 34-14 on this gloomy Sunday afternoon in Cincinnati, Ohio, live from Paycor Stadium. You know what? That's 2-0 for the Bengals, and they're over 500, and Jake Browning is now 2-1 as an NFL starter. The Bengals are over 500, and listen, hear me out. When Joe Burrow got hurt, I think most of the fans, including myself, even the diehards, the loyal fans, we thought this season was going to be like, it's over, right? But I have to give credit where credit's due to Jake Browning for stepping in and just for the Bengals roster in general. This is still a really good Bengals football team. They still have players on this team that went to the Super Bowl, play an AFC title game, and they have a coaching staff that at times can drive all of us insane, but they're still good coaches in the end, even though sometimes they'd be calling some boneheaded stuff. Either way, this team has experience, and I think they looked at this opportunity when Joe got hurt and he was declared out for the year that, you know what, we're still going to play our brand of football even though we have a backup quarterback, but now Jake Browning is the starter quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals for the rest of the season. And I believe the coaches and the players in the locker room say, you know what, we're going to have doubters, that's fine, watch this. And for a big game like this against a Colts team that are coming off a big win over the Titans in overtime last week, and a team that you're battling for the wild card spot, this was a big, big time game, and this was a big win for the Bengals. The Bengals had to win this game because I know you're playing against Gardner Minshew, who is probably the best backup quarterback in the NFL, but he's still a backup quarterback, and you have to win this game at home against a team that you're obviously battling for playoff positioning in the AFC. And the Bengals did that. And the final score reads 34-14, and the game was tied at halftime at 14 points because the Colts scored 14 points in a matter of 20 seconds before the half. If all of that didn't happen, this game's a blowout because the Bengals jump off 14-0. In this game, it should have not been even close to begin with. It wasn't close, and well, obviously the Bengals scored 20 unanswered in the second half. But I'm just saying it should have not been tied up at halftime. So this is a good win for the Bengals. I'm looking at the stats. Total offense, the Bengals had 385. The Colts had 272. Shout out to the Bengals defense. I thought the Bengals defense played relatively well in this game. Remember the Colts? Zach Moss, I think everyone was afraid that he was going to go off. And I know the Bengals' run defense has not been good all year. They stopped Travis Etienne Jr. on Monday Night Football against Jacksonville. I think a lot of Colts fans were saying this is a game where Zach Moss is going to go off for like 200 yards. The Colts, as a whole, only had 46 rushing yards. 46! So the Bengals' run defense get a standing ovation for the second straight instant reaction podcast. Well done. I think Lou Anarumo's run defense has really figured it out. We'll see how they do the next four games of the season, but they've played well over the last two games. So well done to them. And I just think that probably the changeup has to be with just pride. And it's like, that's not who we are. The Bengals defense has not been who they were, you know, the last two seasons, you know, and coming into the season, we all thought this Bengals defense, yeah, we lost Jesse Bates and Von Bell to free agency. You still think with Lou Anarumo, you still have pretty much the core of your players on this roster on the defensive side. But they haven't really played well all year. But these last two games, it's very encouraging. And the Bengals are still in it. And they're going to need the defense to play really well down the stretch if the Bengals want to sneak on in into the playoffs. Bengals, like I said, 385 on offense. Bengals running game, 111 rushing yards. I'm telling you, I really don't understand why Chase Brown was not used early and often in the season. Before his game against the Jaguars, and yes, he was on IR injury, but before his injury, he only had only two carries. And then last week he had 9 carries for 61 yards. In this game, Chase Brown had 8 carries for 25 yards, but he had 3 catches for 80 yards on the receiving end, including an explosive screen run that went 54 yards for a touchdown. At the end, he made a cut of a Colts defender, which was beautiful to get into the end zone. I'm telling you, whenever you see Chase Brown running the football, he runs with explosiveness. You really haven't seen that with a Bengals running back. I know we have Joe Mixon, and Joe Mixon, when he was younger in his days, when he had a little pop in his step and his legs, really explosive. But I just feel like Chase Brown's speed is more game changer than Joe Mixon, because I feel like Chase Brown can take a run and take it to the house. Mixon can break off 20, 25 yards, but he'll get tripped up. Chase Brown, I feel like every time he gets the ball, I'm waiting for him to do like a juke move, and he's just going to go just off to the races and into the end zone. That's what he brings. So I am so glad the Bengals are using him. Thank you. Thank you. Joe Mixon had a really good game. 21 carries. 21 carries after that 8 carries performance against the Steelers 2 weeks ago. 21 in this game, 79 yards, 3.8 average yards per rush, and a touchdown along with 18. Jake Browning was 18 for 24 for 275, 2 touchdowns. He had one bad pick that went the distance, unfortunately. It wasn't the best throw. He pretty much underthrew Tanner Hudson, but Tanner Hudson kind of gave up on that play, but the Colts ran it back. That was a bummer. But overall, Jake Browning played a really good game. Also, second straight week of a rushing touchdown for Jakey B. He did leave the game early. I'm not sorry. He did leave the game in the late fourth quarter. Not late fourth quarter. It was the beginning of fourth quarter where the Bengals were driving the football. And he was just throwing darts. He was like 9 out of 10. The only incompletion on that drive was T. Higgins dropping a pass that you should have caught it. I know he was juggling it, but should have caught that. But it was a play where he had defenders coming in his face, pause, and he threw it. He got the pass completed, but he fell down, landed in his thumb on the ground. And then when he got back to the huddle after he scrambled and he was trying to look for somebody, and then he scrambled out of bounds, he just took the right play and not try to force it down the field, ran out of bounds. And then when he got back in the huddle, he felt the cramp. Initially, I was like, oh no, what is up with our quarterbacks with hand injuries? We just lost Joe for the season with a wrist. Now, Jakey B with his thumb. Now, his first NFL start against the Steelers, he was having cramp issues on his right hand too. And this time it was his thumb. So I have never heard of that. Well, if you're an old person that knits a lot, maybe you do have hand cramps because you've just been knitting all day. But never heard of a quarterback having a muscle cramp. So I'm glad that the injury wasn't severe, because when he jogged and went to the locker room, I'm like, here we go again. This Bengals team, it's just not our year when it comes to the football gods. They're not on our sides. So I guess that he got an IV, got that cramp to go away. AJ McCarron came in for a couple of plays. I mean, it looked like he had a touchdown pass, but T. Higgins pushed off. I put quotes on that because I really didn't think he pushed off. But there was no reason for T. Higgins to even put two hands on the fender to get the ball in the first place, because he already had a size advantage. So he could have just came up with that. That was actually a good throw by AJ McCarron. You know what? That throw AJ McCarron had, same area where he threw that touchdown pass to AJ Green in the wildcard game against the Steelers. Now I'm having really extreme PTSD on this instant reaction podcast of that game. But that was literally the same side. I was at that game when that happened. So I'm glad that Jake Brown was able to come back and he was able to finish the game. He didn't throw the ball at all. He just handed off the ball, which he's supposed to do. Awesome. Can we give credit to the Bengals offensive line for the second straight week? They have played really, really, really good. And here is Zach Taylor. He is talking to the media right now. He says, "We have really called upon every resource we have on offense." He said, "It's not new plays with Browning, running same stuff reamped since camp, just calling on some new pieces." Yeah, I mean, Jake Browning has been in this team for about 3 years now, I believe. So he knows the system. He knows the offense. So I think now it's just a matter of what he likes, because he's never been in this position before where he's been a starting quarterback in the NFL. Now he's taking over a team like Cincinnati Bengals, and now it's like, okay, I got to figure out what I like, what I don't like, what I need to communicate with the players and the coaches to just, like, get everyone on the same page, basically. So Zach Taylor on the offensive line, giving up no sacks. He said, awesome. Those guys have risen to the challenge and are really helping us right now. Yeah. I think the offensive line, the same core that have started every single game this year for 13 straight games, this offensive line has pretty much been the same. No one has got hurt. Knock on wood. I got to find wood, pause. Yeah, knock on wood, no one gets hurt for these next four games. Okay, Zach Taylor said he thought Jake Browning did a great job handling all the different situations today. He said that Browning got an IV in the locker room for the cramps. Yeah, I'm glad it was a cramp. Really, yeah. Okay, let's see. You look at the Colts. Gardner Minshew was 26 for 39 for 240, had a touchdown and a pick. And that pick was created by B.J. Hill, who made one hell of an athletic interception for a big dude. He caught that. I was like, wow, good for DJ. Bengals defense got three sacks on Minshew, and two of them was credited to Trey Hendrickson, who had a really good game. He had one terrible play where he should have not hit Minshew very, very late. And it kept that Colts drive in their first offensive drive for a touchdown going, because it was 14-0 at the time. And if Trey Henderson just did not do that stupid play, who knows? This game would have been a blowout. But that was the only mistake he made all game. He made up for it. Played really well in the fourth quarter. Colts running game. Everyone thought that Zach Moss was going to go off today. He only had 13 carries for 28 yards. Like I said, praise up to the Bengals run defense. Michael Pittman had 8 catches for 95 yards, but those catches and receptions were later in the game where the Bengals defense was playing prevent, which I have no idea why, but, you know, whatever. The game was already decided. Mo Ali Cox had the Colts touchdown reception. I've never heard of this dude before, so I guess good for you. If you had him on the anytime touchdown scoring, you probably won like $9,000 probably. Let's see. Oh, yeah. The Colts kicker, Matt Gay, who was the Rams kicker in the Super Bowl. I wish that he would have missed these field goals and extra points in that game, because dude missed from, let's see, was it 30-something? If this thing can load. Either way, he missed an extra point. He missed a field goal. And pretty much the announcer pretty much jinxed him when they said that Matt Gay has not missed from under 40, and I'm like, jinx. And sure enough, he missed it. And then when the Colts got their first touchdown of the game, he missed the extra point, and that was pretty much it for Matt Gay today when it comes to kicking. Let's see, anything else? T. Higgins, 2 catches, 72 yards, and a long of 46 yards. That throw by Jake Browning, oh, man, if he would have just led Higgins a little bit more, man, throw that ball a little bit with more touch in the air, oh, that would have been a touchdown. Ja'Marr Chase had 3 catches for 29 yards. Tanner Hudson, congratulations on your first NFL touchdown. Well done. Standing ovation for Tanner. Let's see. Jermaine Pratt had 10 total tackles and a half a sack and a tackle for a loss. Trey Henderson, like I said, with those 2 sacks. Cam Sample had a half sack. B.J. Hill's interception was crazy. That was such an athletic play. Evan McPherson was 2 for 2 on field goals. Brad Robbins had another tough day on the punting end. I don't know what the Bengals are going to do with him, but gosh, we'll evaluate more of Brad Robbins towards the end of the season or in the offseason. Let's see. Also, this win's important because as you look right now, as you should be scoreboard watching in the NFL, and damn it, Ravens are not winning. Damn it, Rams. So right now, let's see. Let's go to the standings. Let's see. Right now, as I record this, you look at the seedings. The Bengals hold the last playoff spot in the AFC because the Texans got their asses kicked by the Jets. Crazy. The Jets are a weird team. And then the Bengals beat the Colts. So the Bengals have that tiebreaker. That's huge right there. Steelers already lost. Browns are probably going to beat the Jaguars. That game is still going on right now. It's 28-21 Cleveland. 3 minutes and 34 seconds left of that game. 4th and 3 for the Jags on their 38. They just called a timeout. Pretty sure that you'll probably need to go for it in that one. So let's just hope the Jacksonville Jaguars can convert that 4th and 3 and extend their drive and hopefully end it with a touchdown. If not, then the Browns are going to end up winning that game. The Ravens and Rams have been a good game to watch. It's 31-28 Ravens with a minute 16 left. The Rams have the ball on their 25. 1st and 10. They just need a field goal. Can Matthew Stafford do it? I know the AFC North is pretty much wrapped up. I don't think the Bengals should be caring about that. But it's just interesting to see if the Ravens somehow don't win this game. But it looks like they will unless a miracle happens. And Matthew Stafford and the Jaguars don't get the first down. So that's pretty much it. So the Browns are going to win that game. And then the Bills and Chiefs are about to start off in about 5 minutes from now. As much as I hate the Chiefs, we need the Chiefs to win just so the Bills can just continue to fade out of the AFC playoff standings. So I think it's safe to say that by the end of tonight, the Bengals will hold the last playoff spot unless the Broncos beat the Chargers, which could happen, and the Chargers can definitely beat the Chargers can definitely beat the Broncos. So us Bengals fans need to root on for the Los Angeles Chargers to beat the Denver Broncos. All right, I think that's pretty much it. As always, me and Tommy are going to recap this victory on the recap podcast this week. And then the Bengals' next game is on Saturday. Yes, the Bengals are playing a Saturday football game. They're going to take on the Minnesota Vikings and Josh Dobbs, who the Bengals will see for the second time this year. Josh Dobbs played for the Cardinals when the Bengals went up to Arizona and beat them. Justin Jefferson is back, and the Vikings are playing the Las Vegas Raiders right now. So Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson will be reunited, and also Joe Burrow as well. Bengals-Vikings, 1 o'clock next Saturday. So we're going to be doing an instant reaction podcast after that game on a Saturday. So it's going to be kind of weird. So that game is going to be on the NFL Network. So not a lot of people have that. So I hope the local news or the whole local news station in Cincinnati will put the game on there for people that don't have the NFL Network so they can watch the Bengals play the Vikings. Big game right there. Bengals have to win that game. Like me and Tommy said on the podcast last week, every game from here on out is a must win. The Bengals are allowed one loss during this stretch. And you can say they can lose to the Chiefs and be like, okay, that's fine. But you have to beat the Vikings. You got to beat the Steelers. The Steelers are garbage, okay? Steelers are garbage. Mr. Trubisky is garbage. Mason Rudolph is garbage. If you don't beat that team, then you don't deserve to go to the playoffs at all. But one game at a time. Vikings coming to town, so looking forward to that game. And yeah, that's pretty much it from my end. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys listening to this podcast. And Bengals not done. 7-6. The season is still on. And why not the Bengals? It was why not us in 2021. Why not them this year, right? With everything that have gone against them, and now they're pretty much like saying, you know what? We're playing with house money, but the players feel like they expect to win. They do. And it's like, all right, here we go. And some of the announcing crew on CBS said the Bengals are a dangerous team. The reason being for it is because they have players on this roster that have been there, they have done that, and they expect to win. They didn't. The Bengals were not expecting to fold. That's what they say in the locker room. I know that's what they were saying. They're like, we lost Joe, but we still have great players on this team, and we have people that can step up. Jake Browning's doing that. Jamar Chase is great. They still got T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. Joe Mixon. Chase Brown. Bengals finally realized that, oh my God, the Bengals have a running back too. And you see how good Joe Mixon has been since Chase Brown's been getting a lot of carries. Makes a difference. And offensive line is gelling, playing their best ball of the season. And the defense, slowly but surely, starting to get together. They're still allowing chunk yards on the air. But the Bengals run defense lately, playing really great. And let's hope that continues in these next four games where the Bengals have to win these games. So, love you guys. Recap podcast with me and Tommy this week. Peace.